Chapter 42. Though the season was well advanced, Abbess Vale stoically refused to hold any name day feast. Each day she'd posted lookouts on the ramparts, and they watched until torches were lit and lanterns shone with the onset of night. Through sunny days, cloudy days, and days when soft drizzle and mist hung low over the woodlands, the vigil continued, still with no sign of Samkim or Arula returning. Sitting in the gatehouse one windy morning, Abbess Vale and Faith Spinney took hot mint tea and nut scones with cream as they embroidered a bed quilt together. Faith took the spectacles from the end of her nose and massaged her eye corners gently.
My all eyes get tired pretty quick these days, Vale. Spect it'll be with standing out in yon wall all yesternoon.
The abbess looked rather severely over the top of her glasses.
Faith, what have I told you? There are lots of younger ones happy to do lookout duty. You have no need to be up on the ramparts in all weathers.
The hedgehog lady poured more tea for Vale.
But I wants to be first to see him. Sides, it keeps me out of Dumble's way. That infant's become a regular little terror.
Indeed he has.
The abbess nodded in agreement as she picked up a stitch.
Everywhere I turn, he's following me, bullying away in his North Country speech for a name-day feast.
The whoredom of the eagle, you mean?
Faith chuckled. Vale threw her paws up to her ears.
Honestly, if I hear that name once more, I'll turn the little villain's tail.
The little villain in question was hatching a conspiracy, together with Thrug, MacPherson, Friar Bellows, and several others. It had been brewing for 3 days. Secret meetings at the cellars, with Formole and Tud Spinney standing guard, clandestine gatherings in the dormitory with Brother Hollyberry watching the door, and whispered conferences in the orchard, were becoming the order of the day at Redwall. Dumble made the participants swear deathly oaths that Abbess Vale and Mrs. Faith Spinney should not know a thing until the time was ripe. The kitchen fires burned late, heating the ovens as extra cakes, pies, flans and pasties were baked to a golden turn. Bands of moles plundered the orchard regularly, and young ones were seen coming and going, muttering furtively to each other as they covered for others who wheeled great cheeses from the storerooms, lugged forward big barrels of October ale and strawberry cordial from the cellars, and grunted beneath mysterious bulky sacks as they strove to move them in secret. Around lunchtime, the wind dropped, and so did Abbess Vale's head. She fell asleep in the armchair by the fire. Faith Spinney covered her with the quilt they had been working on, and stole quietly out of the gatehouse. The sun was breaking through scudding cloud masses as the wild King MacPherson flapped his wings and did a short run. The golden eagle nearly collided with Faith as she came out of the gatehouse. He pulled up short and stalked off huffily to the start of his intended launch. Faith followed him.
Sorry, Your Majesty. Did I disturb your exercises?
MacPherson sniffed the air, hopping from one foot to the other.
Och, no, wee lady. I'm just off for a stretch of the wings, ye ken. My feathers need a good wind ruffling them.
Swaying from side to side, he dashed forward and launched himself into the air. Faith shook her head in bewilderment as she watched the huge bird soar gracefully.
Whatever you say, I'm sure. Deary me, I wish I could understand one single word from that bird's beak.
Hollyberry watched from the sick bay window, explaining the scene to Formole, who was sitting on a bed, tucking into a huge wedge of yellow, celery-studded cheese.
He's about to start his second run now. Hold on, he's talking to Faith Spinney. I can't hear what he's saying. There he goes, up into the air, Faith's looking up and saying something. Let's hope MacPherson hasn't given the game away to her.
Formole wrinkled his nose.
Mrs. Spinney don't understand heagly birds. They can't talkin' properly. Don't he worry, Sir Berry Ollie.